That thing is funky.
Good evening,
ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, look at that. Snapped right back into the radio voice.
Welcome to What Jail's Like.
Listening audience is gone.
The hell made you think that was a good idea?
I liked it.
I'm sure you did.
Everybody's running around going, my God, the emergency broadcast system! The world is ending! Actually, the coolest part about this, I'm watching the little flipper things, you know, little flipper babies that check the wattage and ampage of the station.
Yeah.
I'm watching it like redline on the noise and then flatline when I inhaled. Pretty cool.
Ow. What Jail's Like is 2 hours of improvisational comedy and radio theater that is done for you by us and makes you better for the sheer fact of listening to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a correction to the opening. There was a little bit of a mistake that I made there at the end. The two characters in question were actually playing Boggle, not Yahtzee. I don't know why Yahtzee came in, except for the fact that it's a good word. It's fun to say. And I probably just jumped at the chance to be able to say Yahtzee on the radio. Because the chance doesn't come up nearly often enough, you know?
Yeah.
When you're
really
talking about the news, Yahtzee is rarely a news item.
Yeah, it really
is. Global politics,
no,
you know?
It's not like, the
Yahtzee Summit.
Yeah, Yahtzee Summit. Yes, yeah. Yahtzee Nost.
Yeah, caught in tryst with Yahtzee, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yahtzee and some underage girl.
Yeah, never.
Yeah, never.
Never, ever.
Boggle, on the other hand, is a trouble incarnate.
Yeah, but,
so that was Boggle I was talking about.
Yeah, Boggle is the word meme.
This is the rest of the show. How you doing?
Me?
Yes.
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm Mark. With me is Eric. Matt's not here this week. We're just doing it, the two of us, this week.
Yeah, we are. It's just the two of us.
Don't
we say. Can make it if we try. Just
actually,
the two of us.
Can't make it, even if we try. So we might as well give up out here in the Arctic. And just freeze to death.
So I found this interesting little device. But to me, it seems that the blade is facing the wrong way to actually be useful for anything.
Hmm. Well, if any of our listening audience should encounter that blade.
Sorry. All right. I'm sorry. I just playing with. I'm doing all right.
I'm really. It's good that you don't have to make yourself presentable in any way for radio. You know, if we were on stage right now, I would not be a valued performer because I got all kinds of, you know, pool gross going on. With
yeah, me, you
know?
Really do.
I was at a pool and have done little to change the fact that I was at a pool earlier today. As far as radio goes, you know, in order to make yourself aesthetically pleasing, if you've got anything lodged in your throat, you have to cough it up.
Right, exactly.
Much. But other than that, you're pretty much
unless
fine.
You're Matt Trupia, and then lodging something deeply and, you know, really kind of permanently into
ratings your, through the roof.
Ratings, because you get that
yes
thing on the back end of your voice. It's, really a signature trademark.
But I got pool gross going on.
Yeah, you do.
It's you know, I enjoy being at pools, but it's kind of trouble sometimes around here. Go to a public pool, and if you're like me, you are one of very few people there who do not fall into two classes. There are two classes of people you find at the pool. You'll find children and their parents. And if you fall into the nether regions where you're neither of those, which I and my five friends who went were the only people who did, you're kind of trouble. You get paranoid looks from all corners. And in fact, when a seventh guy showed up who I didn't know who fit that qualification, I thought he looked pretty shady, and I kind of got a view of how everyone else must think of me.
Nice. So what's the acceptable pee content in a public pool nowadays?
I don't know.
Did they figure that out? Like, well, at what point they consider it then toxic?
They cast those magic spells that turn the water green if somebody pees in them. So
that's
kinda
cool.
Helps. Yeah. Interesting public pool experience, just because this was, you know, public. I went swimming last week, but it was private. You're a marked man when you walk in there, because you got the teenage lifeguards, you know, and they all want to look real good, and they can't take down a parent, you know, because the parents got money to throw around. They're going to go, you know, complain to the manager, but we are, you know, they want to take us down, so they're watching you like a hawk anytime you get near making a violation. That looks good, if you can yell at the college students.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, you! No cheap microwave pizza in the pool because you were at the concession stand and you know.
There was no sign.
Exactly.
Didn't know that.
Hey, you didn't wait half an hour before eating that icy pop. It was a Slurpee, dude. Relax. I'm not cramping. I'm in the 3 feet. Mm-hmm. Just maxing, relaxing. Well, that's cool.
That's my friend. He just looks like a bucket of nacho cheese.
So cool.
I used to go to the public pool back home a lot when I was younger. I used to be a pool rat. And, you know, got into a modicum of trouble. Used to play the old, put on the goggles in the deep end and look underwater at the, you know, the older girls' bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and also it used to eat a lot of bad pizza and hot dogs.
Yeah.
But always dreaded, they had a guy in the showers, like you had to take a naked shower. You had to like strip down and take a shower.
Oh, no.
And we didn't, the guy, like the women's shower stall, like they had stalls. They had like little stalls with curtains. Guys, no, just one big open room. You know, and I'm 8 years old next to two guys.
Am I going to look like that?
Exactly. When you're eight and you're eye level with two naked adult men.
Yes.
Like, the future flashes before your eyes and it is a place of hair and terror what it's a place of.
Let's face it. The men who were at public pools, you know, this is no slight to Champaign-Urbana, but they are not chiseled out of stone.
No. Well, and there's also something to be said for, like, being the naked eight-year-old in a room full of naked men that... Yeah. Really kind of makes you harken back to the days of, you know, ancient Greece and Rome.
Yes, it does.
You feel like, again, a marked man. Or boys.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's looking at you kind of funny like, well, you know.
The philosophy shifts from inquisitions into the nature of existence to, more rhetorical questions like women.
Yeah.
Women. So it's tough. Yeah. They got those chairs. They're set up in those chairs.
I really like the. I really like the chlorine-y, you know, your skin's about to fall off feeling you get after swimming in the pool for about an hour.
Oh yes.
And you're like, if I bend my elbows, everything will crack off my arms. Like meat to the bone is just going to crack off.
Yeah, you know, I enjoy diving, but right now I've got so much chlorine up my nose. You are legally allowed to swim in my nose if you want. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
What's the acceptable peak, you know, quotient of your nose now?
That magic thing that turns it green.
When somebody pees in your nose?
Yeah. Adult Swim? How about that?
Oh, I love Adult Swim.
Adult Swim? Man, what a joy. That's worth going. I mean, that's the price of admission right there, Adult Swim. Just go in the water, yell at all the little kids, you know.
That used to be my, on a side note, that used to be my my retort for stupid people was, hey, buddy, it's Adult Swim, all idiots out of the gene pool. That's when I was young and clever.
And then they would feel shameful.
Then they'd hit me with sticks.
They wouldn't leave the gene pool?
No, they just hit me with sticks.
Pick up Dennis DeYoung and whack you over the head.
And that guitarist guy, too.
Yeah.
Does anybody know any of the other members of Styx?
Bizarre coincidence. A friend of mine was at this pool, and a man on the diving board told him that he had been taught how to dive by Dennis DeYoung from Styx.
Look at that.
Yeah.
The group mind is engendered.
Yes.
Improv comedy so fresh that we're reading each other's minds.
Let's do that.
Connections without even knowing it. Styx. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Is that what he said to him when he taught him how to... Here's how to dive! Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. And then Dennis DeYoung punched him because he's sick and tired of hearing that.
I'm not sure. I'd stuck my head in the sand at that point. I thought nobody could see me, but it turns out they could. I'm shocked. Yeah.
So what's going on in the world at large? Anything interesting? You're my gateway to the news, as I've often said.
Yeah, I am a one-hip cat with an exclamation point following that phrase. Read something in the news that I wanted to bring over here and talk about. Human genome mapped. That was big.
Oh, I thought it was in a related story. They mapped the human gnome.
Oh, did they?
There's these little tiny gnomes. Mm-hmm. They live in your cells, and they just they mess things up. They kick it up a notch.
Did you have those books when you were a kid? The books with they were those books that had bits of folded up paper and you could make the gnomes and them do things. You know, do you ever have those?
Like pop-up books?
Yeah, pop-up
books. You
could,
like, pull, like, something.
But these were, like, super hyper-complex pop-up books. No, like, no. You could make this gnome, you know, like, come home from work, sprawl out on the recliner, slap his wife, demand his dinner.
Oh, man. The double-wide gnome?
Yes.
No, I never had that series of books. I had a Star Wars book where you could make an X-Wing fly across the page.
Mm-hmm.
I had a black hole book.
Oh, but the black hole books are very good.
We could make Maximilian's, the blade spin on Maximilian's hand.
And then Maximilian would come home from work
with his blades.
Yeah.
And because of the blades, he'd take her head clean off.
Yeah.
But it was a deemed self-defense.
He was shooting himself in the foot. He didn't
My favorite part about that was, though, you could pull this thing and you could make Bob jump in front of Robert. Which is like, to me, was like one of the most traumatic experiences of my childhood. Was in that movie when Bob, when the old beat up robot sacrifices himself for the good of everyone and gets killed by Maximilian.
Yeah.
Jumps in the way. And then you could relive that. My parents bought it for me and I could relive that pain. And I had to do it. You know, it was part of the story. So if I wanted to read the book, I was forced to be complicit in Bob's death by the hands of Maximilian.
That's really rough.
Yeah, it really was. It taught me something about ethics and human nature, man. I had to do it. The writer creates his own moral universe, though, as has been aptly stated by a creative genius. So
yeah.
But still, man, I felt bad about, you know, Bob. He was so nice. Jim Nabors. Wasn't it Jim Nabors' voice? I believe it was.
I think that's right.
He had that crazy drawl going on. Mm-hmm. He's all beat up. Why did that movie flop?
You know,
during the next break, while we're playing a music song, call in if you like the Black Hole, man.
It was just re-released on video pretty recently,
yeah.
I think.
I really liked it. I mean, what a phenomenal movie.
I adored it as a kid.
You know what movie sucked?
What?
Was The Black Cauldron. Very ill-advised move by Disney. Trying to branch into, like, the young adult animation back in, you know, they had that craze in the 80s with, like, there were a couple, Orion, Star Chaser, the Legend of Orion was a 3D cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Fire and Ice, all the way up to Heavy Metal, which was, you know,
right,
way above what we were. But these things were like PG-13, you know. And so Disney tried The Black Cauldron, but it was more aimed at like 12-year-olds, maybe 11,
yeah.
You know, just slightly older than the core audience, like a year or two older. It was just pitiful. It was painfully bad.
I don't think I saw it. That's got its cult around it, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It has a cult around it. There's there's an old school PC game based on The Black Cauldron. I actually had it for a while, just on accident. It was just on a bunch of discs. It's horrible. It was a horrible game. It was like way back in the day where it's like graphics consisted of, wow, look, they managed to make a picture that when, like, then you type some text in and then the picture moves, like, the little completely non-posable picture of the guy moves from one side of the screen to the other, but like with no actual movement. It's just like the movie. Yeah.
If you close your eyes.
If you blink rapidly until you pass out, it's just like the movie. I saw that strange enough, this is to show you what they were trying to do with The Black Cauldron. I saw The Black Cauldron in the double feature with Weird Science back in the day at the York Theater. So, slept through The Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
Woke up for Weird Science. Kelly LeBrock. Bring me the LeBrock woman.
I saw Willow last night.
You saw Willow last night?
Yes, I watched Willow.
Did you rent it?
Yes, I rented it.
Is it still in the apartment?
No, unfortunately, we rented it over someone else's house. But I'm really proud now that, you know, at the video store, whenever someone goes down the list of movies that I've rented, you know, okay, we're doing well, you know, Willow. Cool.
Did you get the DVD of Willow, or did you?
I don't think it's been released on DVD.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, it's a Lucas production. Lucas is all paranoid about DVDs.
Oh, yeah, this is true. Wow, what a great movie.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was thinking about, you know, whenever production for a movie like that gears up, you know, like all the midgets everywhere, it's like, yeah, they need 400 of us. We're back to work.
All right, everybody, crawl out of your slime dens.
So, you know, like all the poor midgets, like trying to make, you know, make ends do until Lucas decides to make another midget movie.
Yeah. Doing all that pornography.
It's really a beautiful movie because, you know, at the beginning you have kind of the, you know, the torch being passed. You know, the great cinematic midget, Billy Barty, passes the torch from to Warwick Davis, you know. That's really sweet.
Yeah, it really is. I think he planned it that way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past Lucas. Did you hear?
What?
Did you hear the bad news from today?
What's that?
Walter Matthau died.
Oh, I heard that yesterday, yeah.
Or is it yesterday? I thought he died this morning.
Yeah, he died yesterday.
So, I mean, I think we should have a moment of... I mean, it's Walter freaking Matthau,
man,
you know?
Good.
Yeah, he was good. So,
Okay. Just so when are we going to have the meeting?
I'm going to count to three, okay, three, then silently in your head, count to three.
Okay.
After, we're going to count to three and be silent. During that silence, in
so
your
it's
head.
Two, three counts?
Two, three counts.
Yes.
Okay. And then right, we can speak again. So okay, ready? One.
I'm on it.
Two.
Three.
Three.
Right, three. Your three or my three? Can we start on your three?
We'll start on my three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Word.
Okay, that's okay, it. Good. Yeah. Moment of silence for Walter Matthau. The man was good. So I'm sorry, go back to your whole Billy Barty thing.
Oh, yeah, just there was that. And I was talking with some friends whether or not Vern Troyer, you know, mini-me from last year's Austin Powers, you know, is he just a flash in the pan as far as the midget scene goes?
I think so, although I did see an episode of Jack of All Trades, the Bruce Campbell vehicle on the WGN on that action pack, the thing that used to have Hercules. It was the replacement for Hercules. Where Troy Verner played Napoleon, and it was rather humorous. Although Troy Verner didn't, I mean,
Vern
do
Troyer.
Much. Vern Troyer, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know,
Jules Verne.
You can't see eye level with him. The least you can do is get his name right.
I'm gonna punt him. If I were me, I want to get famous just so I have the opportunity to punt him across the.
I guess you can't really say that Warwick Davis's career is in bad shape as long as he's appearing in Leprechaun sequels, you know?
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh, yes. That's an inspired idea. So the human genome.
Yeah, let's go back to the whole human. See?
I've always wondered exactly when in a child's development you know it's going to be a midget. Do you, like, know straight off when the baby comes out?
No. I think it would take a little while. Well, actually, they probably know now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably have tests.
Yes.
Put
it through the midget test.
Well, midgets bleed
midget
green.
Battery.
They're not normal.
It's a very extensive series of tests. The midget battery of tests. they put something up on the shelf. You know. No, he can't get it. So
he's a midget.
Yeah. That's going to be big. The human genome being mapped.
Really. I was amazed that there's so many tollways.
It is astonishing.
And, really. But, you know, it's going to make traveling around the human genome much easier. Because I'm really glad that they decided to really emphasize all the bypasses through peptides.
Mm-hmm.
You can really get, you know, just take the 435 around that peptide. And that way during rush hour, if you're driving through and not actually into the peptide, you don't get caught up in rush hour traffic.
Sure, that'll help.
Poor Magellan, though, man.
Yeah, well,
I think we're ever going to get him back out of there.
I kind of.
We had to
doubt
shrink
it.
Him down real small.
What are we going to do with him, though? Send Dennis Quaid in after him.
I think we should do that.
Reflections on the 4th of July coming up this Tuesday.
We're going to reflect. We're going to pre-reflect.
Yeah, yeah. You know, well, you know, you can reflect early, and then, you know, you store up your...
You know, last time I reflected early, it caused misery and embarrassment for both of us.
Get them in some Tupperware. It, you know, they won't go bad.
Right. But, I don't know, I'm... 4th of July has both an element of, joy,
mm-hmm,
but an element of terror as well.
Yeah.
Because when I was 8, I attended a fireworks display where the finale, exploded on the ground about 15 minutes in and began shooting huge fireworks into the crowd.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, you know, 3 feet off the ground, straight out into the crowd. I hated fireworks when I was little. I mean, even when they went off correctly way above me, I thought they were going to hit me.
Yeah.
And so I was petrified. My family would drag me every year. And I was just old enough to be, you know, the doomsayer. Like, I'm 8 and I'm going, we're all going to die if you make me go. We're all going to die. Sure enough, everything
sure enough
blows up.
Yeah, sure.
My 70-year-old grandmother looks like Carl freaking Lewis. Like, she's like, this is first. Well, because it was great. Because first, you know, she's looking around and things are blowing up and shoot. There's like Roman candles shooting at her eye. And, this is wonderful. This is great. Wonderful. Next thing you know, somebody tells her everything's blown up on the ground and she's gone. My aunt's right behind. Next thing I know, I'm the only person there because my little 8-year-old legs can't carry me as fast as the adults, and nobody's going to pick me up, right? Because I'm 8.
Right.
So I'm just over the carrying limit. Thought I was going to die. So, but there's, you know, also this wonderful element of comedy that runs around the 4th of July because the next year we decided not to go to that fireworks display. And instead, my uncle drove up from Georgia and he bought fireworks in almost every southern state on his way up. And I don't know if you know, but it's illegal to transport fireworks. Well, I mean, regardless of whether it's legal in the state or not, it's you can't take them across state lines. You can't take alcohol. He brought a bunch of beer and a bunch of fireworks from Georgia all the way up to Illinois. They were lighting them off in the backyard, and they had just they'd lit off a bunch, and everybody was out like actually in the grass. I was sitting on the deck, and with my cousin, and we were at my aunt and uncle's house, and so it's like one of my uncles and my uncle from Georgia. My dad's out there watching. My mom, or my aunts, my sister. And they get this cone out that comes up to my uncle's waist. Like, it's huge. Mm-hmm. Cone o' death, I believe, is the words printed in large black letters. And they're just about to light it when I notice there's a police officer standing behind us. And, you know, they didn't charge my uncle with all the, you know, the contraband, like, you know, bringing it across state line stuff. They were going to confiscate it all. And I watched my uncle from Georgia attempt to talk this, you know, Chicago suburban police officer into letting him just fire off this last cone o' death. And it was one of the formative moments in my comedic psyche, actually. Like, just that, like, come on, it'll be so cool, you know? It was really funny.
This officer checks through it. If it reaches 6.1 on the so cool scale, then he can do it.
Yes.
Go for it. What is it about uncles that as soon as you become an uncle, there's this hormone change in your mind, and all of a sudden you're all into hunting, you're all into setting off obscene fireworks.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a completely sensible person before that, but there goes the hormone.
See, yeah, my uncle was never like that, though, because he's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in several movies. But the one that he had his biggest claim to fame so far was a movie, I can't remember what it was called, but he plays a transvestite cannibal that lives in the backwoods of Georgia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, eats people while wearing a dress and a wig.
So got too deep into the research for it?
No, but it's really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's creepy to see my uncle play in that part. So, I mean, he's not a normal person to begin with.
See, I'm wondering if the human, like the whole mapping of the human genome thing can help us out there. You know, we can find out what it is exactly that, you know, causes, you know,
the
like,
switch.
Right. Mothers go alcoholic around Thanksgiving, you know, like uncles get freaky around fireworks. You know, just work that out.
Right, exactly. Gin.
Yes.
Oh, where is the gin gene? Can we inhibit the gin gene?
Where is the gin gene? It was here a moment ago.
Gin genes make a man mean.
Yeah.
And they make a mother loving to a point.
To a point.
And then really abysmal. All right. Great.
Woo!
See, but my mom won't know I'm talking about her because she drank vodka.
4th of July, you know, you got parades. Parades, depending on where you are, it's either a huge plus or kind of a plus or
an annoying,
pathetic.
Annoying thing.
Yes.
But pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Worthy of your ridicule.
But as I recall, Champagne, you know, puts a fair amount of juice into its parades.
Yeah, they really do. They take pride. Urbana's is Urbana's is another story. They feel they've been outdone and they've really lost the will to live in terms of 4th of July parades.
Yeah, well, they just put people up on the roofs of houses that have to take pot shots at the parade as it goes by. So it's very dangerous. Wear a helmet if you're
right,
on the parade.
But it's extreme parade going.
Yeah. Weft has got a float in this year's parade that I know a lot of people have been putting work and creativity into. So if you're out there watching the parade and you see the Weft float go by, say, hey, that's the Weft float. All right.
Eat your corn dog.
Eat your corn dog and shut up and enjoy it.
Corn dogs are great.
They're pretty good.
They're phenomenal.
The origination of the corn dog. We were just talking about this yesterday.
This hot dog.
Like, they've got the hot dog and they've got it on the stick. They've got it that far. You
yeah,
know?
They're like, two thirds and they're like,
I can't hold the hot dog myself. You know, I'm going to burn my hand, so I need a stick for it. But it's not quite done.
Right now, I'm looking at this. I'm going, I thought the stick was the final piece. I thought that was the. You know, that was the crux, but no, there's something. And then he's walking on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, this guy's walking on the street with a huge vat of warm cornmeal. And he's going, I thought the warmth was the key, warming the cornmeal. And then they're both looking at their respective foodstuffs, and they bump into each other, and the hot dog and a stick, you know, partially lodges in the cornmeal, and the guy says, you got cornmeal in my hot dog. And the guy says, you got hot dog in my cornmeal. And then they both taste it, and they go, two great tastes that go great together. Boom, the corn dog.
And they kiss, and they became Orville Redenbacher. And that, my friends, is the rest of the story. Yeah, so do you think the corn dog is the peak? Do you think it's going to go any further after that?
I really hope so. I hope somebody realizes...
Someday somebody's walking down the street with a corn dog and some other guy's, you know, got like a bucket of mayo or something.
No, I'm really hoping that someday they figure out how to put a thick layer of melted cheese between the hot dog and the corn.
Yeah. Well, I think we should be pumping more money into cheese technology in general.
Definitely.
You know? I mean, like a lot of people, they see spray cheese, they think that's horrible, you know. But no, that's no, cheese technology at its best, and we can only get better.
Oh yeah, but
there are a lot of things that we cannot smear cheese on yet.
Got exactly, like our children, our babies.
The human genome's going to be huge for that. You just squirt a little cheese into the human genome. Perfect.
Where is the squirtable cheese genome?
No. The corn genome, though?
The corn.
I mean, they had the genome on a stick. They knew that much.
Oh, and on that note.
Yes, on that note, let's go off to a song. The phone number is 359-9338. Well, I'm thinking there's been a lot of movies that have come out, but there's also a big audience out there, a lot of people we like. So let's just kind of smoosh the segment together. See how many calls we get for advice, and we'll fill up the rest of the time with movie reviews.
Sounds good to me.
So if you'd like to get in on the advice tip, 359-9338 is the phone number. You got a problem, concern, something you want us to sort out in a caring, confidential manner on the air, 359-9338.
We're also looking for someone to take Jim Bob's place as a current fan of the week.
Jim Bob, how you doing?
Jim Bob bringing us milkshakes. So
if Jails Like had a float, Jim Bob would be sitting in the throne chair.
Right, exactly. Definitely would at this
point. We have hovercraft, so we float above it. Yeah. But Jim Bob is in the throne chair. He's a great guy.
So if you want to bring us milkshakes and displace Jim Bob, it's 113 North Market Street.
Yeah, in Champaign.
In downtown Champaign.
Downtown Champaign. Scenic downtown Champaign. Historic downtown Champaign. Because the building's been here a long time.
Yeah.
That's the historic angle. Right around the corner from the Amtrak station, Mike and Molly's bar is right next door. That's where to find us, and it's something you should care about, I think, because there's no water cooler in WEFT.
No.
We can bolt to the bathroom.
Which I'm going to do during this musical break.
Right, we can bolt around the corner out to the bathroom. But that's not good. You know, bathroom water, you don't want to rely on the bathroom water
and
like
somebody
that.
Pooped in there earlier. And
right. You know, it's all kinds of stanky going on, because... Because there's that German industrial improv show that goes on
a
few hours before us, and they stink that place up. I don't know what they do.
I don't know what they do either.
Purple stuff splattered all over the wall. I don't know.
I don't
want to get involved with that. So we get really thirsty while we're on there, and we love you a lot, and we'd love for you to return that love with some milkshakes. This being a week where it's just me and Eric, big savings.
Thanks, so you can be the cool guy. Two milkshakes.
Yes.
I love you. Bring four. Oh, man.
I won't say no.
I won't say no.
I won't say go stick your head in the hamper.
Or if you bring, like, some milkshakes and a sandwich.
Mmm.
But remember, Mark's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
But well, I'm not.
I'd love some milkshakes. So
I'd love a milkshake, too. So
yeah,
please.
That would really make the world a better place.
One chocolate, one vanilla.
So 113 North Market Street in Champaign is the address. But 359-9338 is the phone number to give us your problems, to let us do something for you via the audio advice column. Right now is a little bit of Daryl.